Amen. I'm glad the Lord can fill our cups. And if we'll come and have a hunger and thirst for the things of God, the Lord will meet you. He'll bless you. And he will fill you today. If you will, take your Bibles and open, if you will, to Ephesians. And in chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 this morning. I don't know if you ever had the occasion to go somewhere very special, to go somewhere that normally you couldn't have gone, but you happened to go with somebody who was invited, or somebody who had the credentials or whatever it might be to be accepted. And perhaps maybe you've been to places that were a little frightening, but you had the privilege to go with somebody who could take care of themselves. And I occasionally have had some experiences in going to places that were very privileged. And it wasn't because of me, it's because of who I was with. And so when they come to me, all I had to do, Brother Charles, was say, I'm with him. Amen. I'm with him. And perhaps you've been in some frightening places and you were glad to have somebody along who could take care of business. And so you just said, well, you know, I'm with him. And so, what a privilege it is to have people we can depend upon, people rely upon, and people of places and of invitation, of credentials, whatever it might be, even allow us to go to special places where we're looking at that today in Ephesians chapter 2. And the title today is Together with Christ. Together with Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verses 5 and 6, and we'll look at more of the chapters we go through. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You'll find, listen, that's not the only time he uses it again later on in the chapter. He emphasizes here the wonderful aspect of being together. Aren't you glad today that as a Christian, you're not alone, but you have the Lord Jesus Christ always with you? One of the greatest promises in all the Bible is the fact that He would never leave us nor forsake us. Because you know that if the Lord is with you, it'll truly be all right. Because there's nothing He doesn't know and nothing He can't do. He's greater than all and greater than all enemies. And I'm glad today that I call Him my Savior, my Lord, Master, and my friend. Listen, I rejoice today that I have been brought together with Christ. And matter of fact, the Bible here in Ephesians chapter 1 states the great eternal purpose of God. Look back chapter 1 in verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather, what? Together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. The great eternal purpose to God is togetherness, is bringing us all together in Christ. God began this whole thing for fellowship. If you're reading study of the Bible, that's what this was all about, was you and I being together with Him. And I rejoice today, though I am unworthy and unfit, I'm glad today that by putting faith in Christ, that we have been joined together. Who am I that I could walk with Him? Who am I that I could walk with the King? Who am I that I could walk with the Lord? Who am I that I could have the constant fellowship of the Savior, God in human flesh, the eternal Son? Who am I that I could be always together with Him? That's amazing. That's a blessing. By grace are you saved. The Bible emphasizes the blessing of togetherness. Listen, as long as I'm with Him, everything will be all right. As you and I read in the Scripture, we're reminded here that the curse of sin had separated us from God. And when we think about the opposite of togetherness, listen, it certainly brings some horrible words to mind, that we have enmity or we are estranged or even enemies of God. What a horrifying thought today. I can't imagine today thinking for a moment that because I've not put faith in Christ and not saved, the Bible calls me an enemy of God. What a horrible thing. You and I certainly don't take a whole lot of sense to know that life certainly will not go well and your future will not go well if you have God as your enemy. I want the Creator and Sustainer of all things. I want God to be my friend. I want to be on His side. And it's the only hope I have is the hope that God gives me. And listen, I hate to think today that here I sit as an enemy of God. Maybe you didn't think in mind, well, I don't intend to be that. Didn't want to be that way. But I'll tell you what, if you've not received Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on you according to the Scriptures. And listen, the fact that you've rejected the Son, listen, is a horrible thing. Why? Because by grace God offered for you a sacrifice in your place, and the Son of God, when He was nailed to the cross, it was your sin that nailed Him there, and He willingly took all the filth of your life upon Himself to pay that price in full, and yet you've not received that sacrifice. God forbid. God forbid. No wonder God looks upon you and you've counted the blood of the covenant. Listen, not a holy and sacred thing? Is that not special? Is that not the sweetest gift could ever be given? That God Himself would give His life so that He could save yours, and you've not received that? You've not taken it for yourself? You've not accepted the gift? Listen, it's a cold, hard-hearted thing when someone offers you a sacrificial gift and you say, no, I don't want it. But I tell you, it's far worse when you tell God you don't want it. Oh, my soul. I'd hate to think of not being together with Him, but being separated. And the Bible said that's exactly what sin does. Our iniquities have separated us from God. God is holy. And listen, God's purpose is to consume sin, for it's destroyed all the beauty and wonder of His creation. And listen, all of our sorrow, all of the curse originated when man, transgressed against the law of God, would not obey Him. And we have the consequences of that sin that has brought woe upon the earth and have brought sorrow to light. And we grieve over all that the trouble and trial we experience today. And it all has its root in our sin and disobedience to God. And so God hates sin. God will consume it. But God loves the sinner. God's made it possible by His providence in providing a sacrifice through His own Son so that you and I might be brought unto Him. Look at the Scripture here. The Bible said in verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were far off by sin, but by the blood of Christ He's brought you together unto Him. He's brought you near to be accepted in Him. And so together, the word together means to be united to be knit or fastened or joined with. I like that when I think about me and my Savior. That I am united, I am knit together, I am fastened, I have been joined. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, I was nailed with Him, for He died for my sin. And you and I, by faith, are joined together. We are fastened together, we are knit together. And that is, listen, what He has done. And listen, that which He shall receive shall be ours because we are joined together. We are with Him, we have been fastened together with Him. And so what a benefit, what a privilege is mine when I was united with Jesus Christ. I want to give you several simple things today about this togetherness. First of all, we are together in His great resurrection. Look in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins hath quickened us together with Christ. That word quicken is the word here to revive. Listen, to bring to life. Speaks of the resurrection. How when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, He was forever changed. And listen, so were you and I, since we are joined together with Him. When you put your faith in Christ, God united you together with Him. And that experience He did for you. And so thank God today that we have been resurrected by that same power, and you and I walk in a newness of life. I love the truth of Romans chapter number 6. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now listen, I am glad to have a new life. You know why? Because God joined me to Him. That's the whole reason I have a new life. It wasn't something I could do. Wasn't something I could muster up. Wasn't something I could bring about in Reformation. But since I was joined to Him, He went through that, and I went through with Him, and God changed me and gave me a new life. And no longer do I walk in the filth and the mire and the hollow of all those sinful days. But thank God, He's delivered me, and He's put a taste in my mouth for things that are right and true and good. I listen in the old life, in the past time we looked at last time. Listen, you and I had a thirst and hunger and desire for things that were rotten and filth and trash. But God put a new taste in my mouth and a new desire in my heart. And God put it there. Why? Because He joined me together with Christ. And so we've experienced this resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve Him. Thank God, the power and stronghold that sin had on me, He's broken that and set me free from it, so that now I have a desire for things, listen, that save, things that redeem, things that rescue, things that deliver. I have a desire for things that are good. And listen, I do rejoice in all that He's brought to us. And listen, thank God I have a new life with Him. I'm glad when it comes to the new life, and it comes looking at the old life. I'm glad today. I'm glad that I'm with Him. Amen. I'm with Him. Oh, listen, preacher. Listen, what makes you so special? Nothing, but I'm with Him. Amen. Listen, what makes you so good? Nothing, but I'm with Him. He makes me good. Amen. When I walk with Him, He's changing me, redeeming me. He saved me. Listen, He's delivering me. He's rescuing me. Listen, all because I'm with Him. The only thing that's made a difference in my life is simply that I am joined together with Him. And listen, we have not only the resurrection, but also verse number 6, we are risen. Look in verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We are risen, seated in heaven, seated with Him. The idea of the word and the phrase here is to be centered in, grounded in, and comforted by a new position, a new seat. That is, we have a brand new perspective, a new purpose, and a new priority of life because I have been joined together with Him. Jesus Christ has risen, and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He's made us sit together with Him in heavenly places. And listen, the higher you get, the better you can see. And now you and I can see things differently, have a new perspective of life. Listen, we have a new purpose. We've changed our priorities. Why? Because I am together with Him. Listen, the things that used to satisfy me, the things I used to desire, the things I used to think are important, God has changed all that. Why? Because now, sitting together with Him, I see things from an eternal perspective. I have a new light that shined upon me. And now I see things, listen, in the realm of eternity. Why? Because He has given me eternal life. Listen, thank God, I don't see things ending at the grave. Hallelujah. I see things, listen, 10,000 years from now and further out, I see things. I have a life that goes way on beyond this one. Hallelujah. I have a life. I see the church in glory. I see us, listen, singing His praises. I see us casting crown at His feet. I see us being delivered from this world and all of its cares. I see us delivered from the tears and sorrows and pain and death and all we experience. I see us delivered from it all. I see us delivered from aching and aged bodies to be set free. I see us, listen there, praising Him and serving Him. And so when I look upon life now, I don't look at it just to the termination of the grave. I see life now forever and forever. And so it changes my perspective. It alters my purpose. And it changes my priorities. Why? I've been risen. And now, listen, I estimate things from an eternal perspective. You know why? Because I've been joined together with Him. I've been joined together with Him. Listen, what's changed my outlook, changed my priorities? Listen, when God joined me together with Him, it's just changed all those things. And I'm glad I see it differently. The third thing I see here is the word reconciled. We see there in verse 14, the Bible said, "For He is our peace, who hath broken, who hath made one, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Listen, he said, he is our peace. We've been reconciled unto God. Notice here the access unto God. He has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a wall that separated me from God. And we see it illustrated in the temple. You remember the great veil, the great curtain. I had no access to God at all. And could not approach unto His holiness. Was I condemned by the law, condemned by my transgressions? And listen, the truth is, there was enmity in my heart, and I had no desire, to know Him, or know anything about Him, or fellowship with Him. And there was a great wall between us. And listen, I could not ford that wall. I could not cross it. I could not go to Him. But aren't you glad Jesus came to you? I'm glad when we could not go to Him. High upon that mountain of holiness, there holding the great law of God. I could not approach nor step foot upon that mountain. But I'm thankful God came down to me. And He came down to where sinners live. And He came to the vilest. And on Calvary's hill, He gave an invitation for sinners to come unto me. All you that labored heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And He gave an invitation for somebody like me to come unto Him. And thank God, He's broken down the middle wall. You remember when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. God sending a great message to the world that when Jesus died, He opened up a new living way where sinners could come through His blood and have access to the very throne of Almighty God. He has made it possible that I, a sinner, could be saved and have fellowship with Him through the blood that He shed. And you know what now I have? Where once I had enmity with God, that is, I treated God with hostility. You know why? Because He's holy and I wasn't. And because He demanded a righteousness that I couldn't do. Listen, He stood to condemn me. And I, like other sinners like you, we defended our goodness and we defended our righteousness, but God said, no, you're a sinner. Now listen, we said others were good enough. God said, no, you're not. Only one good enough, and that's Jesus Christ. And listen, but He brought peace to my soul. And now there is peace with God. Peace with God. Listen, it was all because of Him. We have access. That veil was ripped open. The Bible said, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that which is in the veil. Listen, thank God I'm accepted today. You know why I'm accepted? Because I'm with Him. I'm with Him. The only reason I'm accepted, the Bible said right here in this book that I'm accepted in the Beloved. Listen, as long as I'm with Him, I have entrance into the very throne of God. And Jesus will take you places you can never go. Unless you're together with Him. I open this book and I look at it as a lost young man. It made no sense to me. A bunch of these and thousand wherefores. But Jesus took me into this book, began to teach me the great divine things of God and shine the light. And God revealed the heavenlies and God revealed the mysteries and God revealed the eternities of His great purposes. And God exposed, let me see my own heart, my own soul, my own life. God let me see the world. God exposed the devil to me. God exposed evil to me. God exposed the salvation. Why? Because together with Him, He took me down the road of truth and showed me the unsearchable wisdom of God. And let me see the great riches of His grace. He took me there. And listen, you know things today. Why? Because you were together with Him. He took you on a journey through the discovery of truth and allowed you to see and know and understand. We have access because of Him. We have the great acquittal because of Him. The Bible said, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. You realize, when I stood before the commandments, I was condemned by them all. Condemned by them all. Jesus let us know we didn't have to do the deed. We just had it in our heart. We were already guilty. And so listen, we are condemned by the law. The law required, the law demanded. It was written in stone. Listen, it was cold. It was hard. No exceptions. Listen, the law had to be lived. It had to be obeyed. And it had to be satisfied. God's holiness demanded that the offended law, that it must receive its just desert, and that we must suffer the penalty of the law. But Jesus stepped in and He took that penalty in my place and He paid the debt in full. Therefore, listen, I can stand before the law, and when the law comes to condemn me, thank God I'm with Him. I'm with Him. He's our advocate, the Bible said. That word is our lawyer, our representative. Listen, He is the propitiation of our sin. That is, He's the one that satisfied. And so listen, thank God. Listen, I'm together with Him. When the devil comes to accuse me, and listen, starts to question me, who do you think you are, and what do you think you're doing? And listen, begin to accuse me night and day. Listen, thank God I can always respond to the devil this way. I'm with Him. Thank God I'm with Him. And listen, because of Him, you and I not only have access, but we have the great acquittal, that you and I have the great pardon of God. And we have peace because He abolished the condemnation of the law, for He satisfied it with His own blood. And then notice the agreement, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. The hostility and confrontation and conflict I have with God now is love. And now, because of Him, I love Him. I want to tell you, listen, you and I had no time nor interest in God. Listen, God offended us. And we were angry at God. And we wonder why God let this happen and God didn't do this and God do that. And if God loved me, why would He do this? And if God loved the world, why would He let this happen? And we went around slandering and accusing God of all the things. And God ain't never done nothing for me. And listen, He ain't never helped me. And listen, I listen to the world. I hear them and their demands of God and their slander of Him about all the things He's allowed and the things He hadn't done. And listen, all the things. But listen, aren't you glad because of Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Him and that great power of God moved in your heart, He took that enmity, He took that hostility, He took away that slander. And listen, He gave us an affection, a love, a desire to be with Him. And we desire to be with God. We desire to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to be in His presence. Listen, we have discovered He's altogether lovely and there's none like unto Him. And we long to be with Him. And the greatest peace we have, listen, is when we're near Him. The greatest righteousness in our heart, the greatest goodness that comes, the greatest joy that comes is when we're close to Him and we desire to be with Him. For God has taken all that away and now we love Him. And now when I hear people slander Him, and I remind them, listen, Jesus is the one that died for your sorry soul to keep you out of hell. If you'd trust Him and discover the love of God, you'd realize it's your sin that brought the curse, not God. And listen, you won't let God do anything for you because you rejected His Son. But I'll tell you, if you receive His Son, you won't believe what God will do for you. You just won't believe what God will do for you. If you had faith to trust Him, listen, then also I find the word not only reconciled, but also the word redeemed. The Bible said in verse number 21, in whom all the building fitly framed, here's our word, together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Notice here that the apostle by the Holy Ghost emphasizes this togetherness that you and I, we enjoy today, the resurrection, that we are risen, that we are reconciled, we're redeemed. Why? Because we are joined together. We are knit together with Him. We have a union with the Lord God. And listen, because of that, He has redeemed our life from destruction. Listen, we had a plan and purpose for our life, and would it end in shame and sorrow and emptiness, and our life would have been void. But listen, thank God, He has saved us and redeemed us for His holy purpose. And the Bible said we are framed together, and we are builded together for a habitation of the Spirit of God. You know what that is? That is a temple. Now listen, we are the church of the living God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And God is using you, listen, that you might bring knowledge of Him and knowledge of His great salvation to the world where God puts you. And so the habitation where the Spirit does dwell, He dwells in your life. And God has transformed, listen, your life from an empty purpose, full of vanity and void and nothingness. Now he's making you a vessel, a servant, a temple of the Lord, so that others might know him and the great salvation of God. Oh, listen, the holy temple of the Lord. Thank God today you and I have the resources of new power. Resources of new power. Why? Because I'm with him. I'm together with him. His name opens the greatest opportunities because I am together with him. His name opens the greatest privileges and the greatest places. Why? Because I'm with him. Thank God, listen, he reached down and not only saved you, but he is redeeming your life from an empty destruction. And you and I look around and we see the wasted and ruined lives. And we see people living out their lives, with nothing to show. And when the end comes, they stand before God, they will stand ashamed and naked with nothing whatsoever. But the judgment of God. I'm glad today that he is turning you into a vessel of honor. I'm glad today that he's redeeming your life so that in the sight of God, your life, has a preciousness in the service of the Lord God. God has chosen you for his own service. God has put you into his great government and put you into his kingdom and put you into his church. That you might make an eternal difference in the lives of people. You and I, not only do we show kindness to our world, but we show the kindness of God. Not only do we show grace to people, we show the grace of God. God takes your life and redeems it and puts a power in it that convicts the heart of the sinner. You realize there's a difference when the world shows kindness and when the Spirit of God shows kindness. There's a difference. One shows that, hey, that's a nice person. The other has a spiritual impact that begins to convict the person as to why you are that way. The Holy Ghost, takes whatever you do and the power of God ministers to the hearts and lives of people in a spiritual way. A spiritual way. And so, you know what God is doing? God is vesting his power in you. And when you bear fruits for him, they have a spiritual impact wherever you go. You realize that? Isn't it amazing that God will do his work through the fruits he's produced in his believer? That's amazing. You realize that when you allow the Spirit of God to work in you, and you show goodness and kindness, meekness and temperance and faith and love, when you show those things in your life, it impacts people in a spiritual way. The flesh can't do that. The Holy Ghost does that. You realize how much power God vests in his believers to influence the world for Christ? He has redeemed your life from just the mere works of the flesh, such that you do the works of the Spirit of God. And little did you know it, but words will come out of your mouth to minister to people. And it will affect them in a spiritual way. You realize that? It will affect them. Why? Because you are the habitation of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God wants to use you so that you can do the works. Isn't that amazing? Redeeming our life from vanity, waste, emptiness, void, nothingness. God is using you. And sometimes we might not be aware of it. But I've heard many a testimony. Of people showing acts of kindness. But you know what stuck to them? As Grandma would say, put meat on their ribs. When the Spirit of God spoke through a human vessel, it stuck. It stuck. When you and I minister to the hurting and the bereaved and to the lost, here's what God is telling us. If you'll walk in the power of the Spirit, I will use you impact their lives, and they will be touched by God. Could I tell you, that's the greatest privilege and thrill in the world, is to be doing God's work. And you think, who am I to do God's work? It ain't me. I'm just with Him. It's because I'm together with Him that God redeems our life. When I face the trial and trouble of life, you know what? I'm glad I'm with Him. When I face, listen, the world and its growing animosity and hostility, because I love Jesus and love the Scriptures and seek to live by them, and I face it and I see the gnashing of teeth of them when they point that finger at us and laugh and slander and mock and threaten, because we love Jesus, love the Bible, I'm glad as I face the world, I'm with Him. I know that there is a powerful enemy who is without mercy. He is evil itself, the old devil. When I think about the devil, and I think about the things he's done and capable of doing, and I think about and I read his possessions, and I read, listen, what's going to happen when he unleashes his power upon the world. And when he comes as the great deceiver, and the Bible said the time wasn't shortened, him the elect would be deceived. When I think about his intent, when I think about his purpose, when I think about his power to afflict our lives, I'm glad I'm with him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When I face the unknown future, don't know what tomorrow holds. The older you get, the more that becomes a little frightening. As I think about the future, as you've grown weaker, and you feel the growing corruption of the feebleness of the body, I face the future, you know what, I'm glad I'm with Him. And I'll tell you, when I face death, I'm glad I'm with Him. And after death, one day when we stand before God and we face the judgment of the Almighty God who brings the heaven and casts into hell, I thank God as I face the judgment, I'm with Him. I'm with Him. As I face life and all that it brings, I'm glad I'm with Him. Are you together with Christ today? Or are you separated from Him? Together with Him or separated from Him? Isn't it wonderful that God makes this togetherness possible? Not because of your merits or your worth. He just simply says, if you'll put your faith, if you'll trust me, call upon me, God will bring you unto Himself. Once far off, but now brought nigh, by the precious blood of Christ. Maybe here today say, preacher, I'm not saved, not born again. Well, listen, I have to be honest with you. You're condemned already. But as long as you have your right mind and have a breath in your lungs, there's an opportunity today, right now, of being joined together with Him. I'll tell you, there'll come a day you'd have wished you were joined together with Him. Today, you can be. Swallow that pride. What do people think? I can care less. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I need Him. I need Him. Maybe here today as a Christian, you say, preacher, I know I've been joined together with Him, and I'm not close to the Lord as I need to be. Oh, I know it. Oh, I know it. I'm not close. I need to be. Whatever's between you and Him, it ain't worth it. You know it, I know it. He's made provision. You come to that blood, bring your confession to the Lord. He'll wash you, make you just as clean and pure and holy. You'll come to Him and seek that fullness. Preacher, I'm here today and I'm dry. Why don't you ask God to fill your cup? Fill my cup. Preacher, I'm here discouraged, almost to the point of being despondent. Despair. Fill the darkness. Why don't you come unto Him? Amen. Come unto Him. We join together. I love what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, "My peace I give unto you. It's not yours, it's His. It's my joy," Jesus said. "My joy I give unto you."